Cet épisode de Beauty Toaster a été réalisé avec le soutien de Prescription Lab, l'un des leaders de la beauté digitale en France. Perso, j'ai intégré plusieurs soins signés Prescription Lab dans ma routine beauté. Forcément, les formules naturelles créées dans un labo parisien et produites en petite série pour être plus fraîches, ça me parle. Comme le gommage corps café à base de marc du 11e arrondissement. J'en fais un une fois par semaine pour lisser ma peau et éliminer les cellules mortes. Très efficace au retour des vacances. Je suis aussi super fan du masque détoxifiant à l'argile et au charbon. Même chose, je l'utilise une fois par semaine pour affiner le grain de ma peau sans l'agresser. Quant à la crème pour les mains haute performance, elle ne quitte plus mon sac. Pour tester les soins Prescription Lab ou la box, rendez-vous sur le site de la marque pour obtenir moins 15% jusqu'au 31 décembre 2019 sur toute commande avec le code promo Beauty Toaster.
One of the reasons why I made the factory, not only because I am passionate about making the product and I really love how, like, how intimate that process is, but I also love designing a process because today is not about designing great product, but designing a great process that also reduces the carbon footprint, that also doesn't dictate what you produce based on minimums from a contractor, you know, but you actually make what you need based on what your clients actually want so that the time that it gets to stores is that product that have been sitting in my warehouse and then get to the stores and they're not as fresh and as potent. So it's just like really rethinking so many aspects of how beauty is made.
This is a special announcement for my French audience. Cette interview s'est déroulée en anglais. Pour les auditeurs non anglophones, je signale qu'une traduction intégrale est disponible sur le blog beautytoaster.fr. Hi, I'm Chantal Soutarson, a French beauty and wellness journalist. I'm your host on Beauty Toaster, the first beauty and wellness podcast in French. For this second episode in English, I interviewed the one and only Tata Harper. She was a real pioneer back in 2010 when she started her eponymous brand. You will discover how and why she became a game changer in the green beauty industry and how she sees the future for beauty and her expanding brand. We also talked about the growing challenge of sustainability. I really hope you'll enjoy our chat. Headphones on, it's Beauty Toaster time. Hello, Tata.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's nice to have you here in Paris.
Thanks for having me. This is so fun. I love doing a podcast.
No, thank you. So Tata, tell me, you were not in the beauty business at the beginning, but I read that you and your mother and your sister back in Colombia, you used to organize beauty parties. Is that right?
Yeah, that's totally right. So, yeah, I was not in the beauty industry at all. I am an industrial engineer.
Yeah.
And I was having a totally different life. But because I'm Latin and because, you know, my mom and my grandmother always had like this incredible love of beauty and they love to, you know, to really celebrate beauty. Like for them, beauty was not about a chore or like something annoying that no one had time for. It was something that it was part of like a pampering ritual for themselves. Like this is how, you know, we kind of like celebrate the weekend, get ready for the weekend. And also daily, you know, there was always like those 10 minutes, right? In front of the vanity, putting creams on, rubbing eye cream. And I just really became a lover of the ritual and the feeling that that ritual leaves in you,
yeah.
You know? And I became a beauty lover since a very, very young age.
So at first you were interested in fashion.
Yeah.
Then you ended up working as an industrial engineer. Mm-hmm. And how did you decide to start your own beauty brand?
Yeah, so a few things. So I have always been a lover of fashion, still today. And when I was younger, when I was in school, I actually had a fashion brand with a friend of mine. And we used to create a lot of designs. I thought that was really like my calling. And I wanted to study fashion, but my mom which has always been a working mother, an entrepreneur, she's like, oh, no. No, 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 not fashion. I don't think that that's really like the right future for you. I feel that it's very limited. Mm. You know, if you study fashion, then that's all that you can really do. And I thought that, you know, and her words really resonated. She's like, you know, I think that you should study something like industrial engineering. And I was like, what? What is that? Like industrial engineering? That sounds so complicated.
But you did it.
But I did it, and I loved it. And in you know, in high school, I was like a very like mediocre student. You know, it's like passing. You know, C+. But when I studied industrial engineering, I actually became an excellent student.
Oh yeah,
which
you
was
liked
to
it.
My surprise, I actually loved it because industrial engineering, they teach you how to make things and the process of making things, and it's also they teach you how to think, which is like really interesting. But you know, all of the you know, I never ever thought that I would become a beauty entrepreneur. Yeah. To be
but
honest,
how did you get there, dear? How did you
so
get to beauty?
I got there. You know, there were a few variables involved. Like, number one, my stepfather was diagnosed with cancer. This is about like 15 or 16 years ago now. And he was treated mainly in the United States. And I was living in Miami at the time. And I went with him to a lot of doctors, a lot of clinics, a lot of, you know, just a lot of different people that help him in his recovery journey. He's a survivor. I always forget to mention that. And it was, you know, yes, there was a lot of tests and a lot of medicine and a lot of operations, but a big conversation was around his lifestyle. Like, what does he do every day? How does he live? Yeah. What does he get in touch every day? Mm. What products did he use? And I remember, like, the doctors being like, Tata, like, try to incorporate more, help him incorporate more natural products in his life. Like, I know that he's a guy and he doesn't use, like, tons of things, but shampoos, conditioners, you know, mm-hmm. soaps, deodorants. And I that was, like, a big opening eye-opening moment for me because I thought that natural beauty or the organic natural movement was really just about the environment, which I am an environmentalist and I care about the environment. But I never really thought that I had to change my deodorant, you know, or my moisturizer. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, this is really a health conversation. And it's really about this daily interactions with chemicals that happen in your life every day, most of them twice a day. And how do you minimize like this thing called the toxic load?
Of course.
And I started changing things and I started changing foods, cleaning products, like everything. And really that last frontier for me was how do I change my super high-tech Swiss skincare line to something natural and not being able to find that, you know, because natural beauty, you know, when the way that it has evolved and the way that it actually was born is by having very minimal products, simple
very
products.
Basic products.
It was very basic. Mm. It was really started by, I think, that people that were more interested in products being natural than products being efficacious, you know? But and that can apply to a lot of different industries. But in the skincare industry, people buy products because they want to see results.
Of course.
And they need things that actually work. So I felt that a lot of, you know, like I had the experience that many people had with natural beauty, which is like it's disappointing. You don't get what you need. Products are really like the textures are not great. And not being able to find that product is what really led me to this journey of like, I want to help create this new generation natural product.
And you wanted your brand to be green, clean, and glamorous from the very start. Back in 2010, this must have been a real challenge.
It was. And, you know, 2010 was the year that I launched, but I actually started working on the line like in 2005. So it was 5 years to create Tata Harper, which was very different than what you're told when you want to start a conventional beauty brand, that it's like, oh yeah, you come up with the concept and in 6 months you're like up and running. I never wanted it necessarily to be glamorous. I just really wanted to speak to a client that was expecting a lot of results. I feel that that's maybe like a better way of framing it. Like a lot of people are like, oh, you're such a luxurious brand. And I'm like, okay, what does that really mean? for us, it was really, I wanted to be like very potent, like very concentrated with a lot of ingredients from all over the world, like really be the pinnacle and of the representation of what cutting edge natural technology is today, which is very different than how natural products began, which was more about like simple products, you know,
basic.
Catering to a basic consumer, that it's more minimal, that it's not expecting a lot, but what about if you're not minimal, right? Like, what about if you're a maximalist, not a minimalist when it comes to beauty? Like, what does that really look like? And what are my options? And not having alternatives is really sad, right? So I felt that I wanted to do a line that also challenged the way, the status quo in many ways. And I'm going to actually talk about that, because it's not only the fact that the products were natural and that everything is natural. Like, clean is a new concept. Clean has nothing to do with what we do. Clean is just about, it's a reaction from the industry about like, hey, we know that there are controversial chemicals out there, and parabens, SLS, PEGs, you know, every brand has their own standards of what being clean means to them. But clean is just an effort, which is a great effort. But it really has nothing to do with what we do. What we do is completely natural and organic. And that's what I wanted to really bring. It's like, hey, how do we show customers like what is the real power of nature when it's done right? And also, I also wanted to challenge this idea of the silver bullet ingredient, like this ingredient that will do it all for you, right? Like, we have been marketed for so long. Like, I think that it's like 60 or 50 years of, you know, of really marketing this like single point of view of like, synthetics are the only thing that works. And here it is, this one ingredient, right?
Like,
here it is, the vitamin C, the vitamin A, the vitamin B, you know, you name it. And I wanted to, and I felt that there was like some cheapness to that, like, right? Like, why one ingredient when there's so many to choose from?
Of
like, it's like I would make the analogy of like taking supplements, right? Like, you can take your vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin B, and buy all of them separate. But what about if you just buy an amazing multivitamin so that you can go into like a diet of all of that, right? And, and actually buy something that will replace so many things and will be, and that it'll actually be more cost effective. Like, yes, single and alone, it's more expensive than the majority of the products out there. But if you actually do the math, and the amount of products that you would have to buy to get all of those actives, like, we have a serum that has like, you know, 39 active ingredients. Like, where do you get that? Like, you would have to buy, like, I don't know, 12 different products. And it was really hard to then also change a lot of the mentalities that the beauty industry and the way that the beauty industry is used to doing things. And I think that one of my biggest advantages is that I actually was not from the industry.
Yeah,
because I felt that a lot of times when, you know, you hire a lot of these experts, right? Like, they're experts for a reason, because they really know how to do things the way that they have been done now. But experts are really not the way to go when you want to do things differently, because they treat you like if you're crazy just because you don't want to participate in the system. So, for example, when you want, like, as a beauty entrepreneur, you want to start a beauty company, you would typically hire one of these experts.
Yeah.
And they will, you know, show you a lot of different labs to create your formulas, and those labs typically, you know, have lots of bases, which are shared bases that are in the industry already, but then they would change one or two ingredients. So, for example, I am from Colombia, so it would be like, Tata, we have this amazing ingredient from the Amazon, we're going to put it across your line, it will be paraben-free, of course. And you're like, wait, like, what? One ingredient and only paraben free? Like, I want to make it like completely synthetic, you know, like non-artificial. So they're like, oh, no, we don't have time
impossible.
To work on that. That's
mm-hmm.
impossible. Like, what do you mean? You're not going to get results. You're not going to be able to do any of those things. So you're like, okay, I can't work with the system.
So is it why you created your own lab and your own factory? Is it the reason why?
Yes, because it's like, I had to, We like the idea of working every formula from scratch. Yeah. I felt, you know, I am a beauty consumer first and foremost. So as a beauty consumer, you come embedded and programmed with so many fantasies about what you buy. And I wanted to keep all of those fantasies alive. I wanted to have products that were made, you know, from scratch, made by us. And then the other part of the fantasy is that you expect those products to be made by the company that actually, you know, by the brand.
By the brand.
And what I realize is that the beauty industry, it's very outsourced. You know, like you have contract manufacturers that make 80 brands under one roof. Then it goes to a filler that fills in the bottles, those 80 brands. Then it goes to packagers. Then it goes to even distributors, you know, yeah, for sales. Mm. So I kept thinking to myself, like, I'm an engineer. I'm like, wait, so what is it that I am actually going to do? Just like sales and marketing? Like, I don't want to have an advertising agency. I want to have a real skincare company, yeah, that makes our products from scratch. And also, one of the reasons why I made the factory, not only because I am passionate about making the product and I really love how, like, how intimate that process is, but I also love designing a process, because today is not about designing great product, but designing a great process that also reduces the carbon footprint, that also doesn't dictate what you produce based on minimums from a contractor, you know, but you actually make what you need based on what your clients actually want, so that the time that it gets to stores is that product that have been sitting in my warehouse and then get to the stores and they're not as fresh and as potent. So it's just like really rethinking so many aspects of how beauty is made, not only from, oh yeah, it's natural, but it's like so many things, right, that went into it. And I love having this brand where you can actually pour so much of like your own personal values, beliefs, fantasies, whatever, you know, you name it, into what you do, which is like so fun. It's like a company for the future.
Yeah. And Tata Harper is mainly about anti-aging.
Yeah, mainly.
And as a result, your products are supposed to deliver a multiple activity. But multiple activity means also multiple ingredients. So what about the risks of allergies, sensitivity? How do you deal with those issues?
Great question. You know, I have always had the approach when I started this brand of like, I want to bring the best ingredients, right? But I never had taken into account the climate in which we live today, that it's like people are dealing with reactions to many things, right?
Pollution.
So I am actually, right, and I have hundreds of thousands of customers for our line that includes, you know, all of those ingredients that are wonderful and everything else. But I also realize that there are hundreds of thousands of customers that are also dealing with their own struggle, right? Like not only in skincare, but also in foods and environmental and so many different things. So I really wanted to, how are we more inclusive, right, with those clients? So I am actually, and this is like a sneak peek, very, very, very sneak peek of what's to come next year, because I'm actually developing a line for people that have sensitivity. So,
that's a scoop.
Yes. And how do I bring those results, those technologies, but also taking into account that people are allergic to gluten, that people are allergic to soy, that people are allergic to essential oils, that people, you know, it's like, and considering so many things. So it's actually been an amazing challenge. It's, you know, I really thrive with challenge. When things get a little easy, I get a little bored. So that's a new thing. That's a new thing.
And, most of the ingredients come from your farm in Vermont.
No, but it's a total misconception.
Yeah, no.
I actually, so in my farm, I have a garden where we grow 5 herbs.
Okay. And
we have some things in experimental phases, but there are 5 herbs. It's calendula, arnica, meadowsweet, alfalfa, and borage. And those herbs grow really well in our soil, in our farm. I bring ingredients from 78 countries because I bring the best ingredients from where they are grown at its best, you know, and I can't just confine it to what I grow in the farm. What happens in the farm is that we make all the products.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
You know, so a lot of people confuse and they think that all of the ingredients are coming from my farm.
Which is
but
not
no.
The reality.
But it's a global technology from every corner of the globe. Gets ingredients, raw materials come in, and then in all of our farm barns, we have our factory. So there we make it, we fill it, we package it, and all of our products come from our green farm in Vermont.
And all the ingredients that you get around the world are sourced, very well sourced, and
Yeah, we have actually like a very strict parameter and sort of like approval process for raw materials because we, you know, like we want ingredients that are not tested on animals. We want ingredients that don't have animal byproduct. We want ingredients that are not started from genetically modified seeds. We want ingredients that actually, like some of the extraction processes
also
don't involve things that are bad to the environment. So it's a lot of self-limiting constraints that we have put in ourselves, aside from the fact that we don't have any synthetic chemical whatsoever. Yeah. And then after we do that internal validation process, then we also do an external validation through EcoCert, which is our third-party seal. Yeah. And they help us even like take things even further. And sometimes things that all, in our own knowledge, we think that it's okay. Once they go through EcoCert, they're like, oh, wait, red flag. Yeah. We, you know, this uses this and that, or there's a minuscule amount of this. And then like what, you know, we typically like to start a project, let's say with 80 raw materials and that we validate. And then by the time they get back from EcoCert, they end up being 60, you know. And then that's when we begin the formulation process. Okay. So there's like a lot of pre-work that we do before we even start formulating the product. But you know, it's mainly like synthetic free, you know, like it started from something that grew on the earth.
How do you deal with the carbon footprint?
Well, we try to minimize it a lot, but you know, we bring ingredients from all over the world and that obviously adds to the carbon footprint. But then I am not, by being vertically integrated and doing it everything under one roof. And also like, you know, again, like what I was talking about, designing the process of how you make it, right? Like, like nowadays, like ingredients get flown in from many parts of the world to start a beauty product, but then it's done by a manufacturer that then needs to ship it to a filler, that then needs to ship it to the cartoner, or that then end up shipping it to the distribution warehouse. Like we don't do any of that additional shipping. It's like we get all the ingredients and it stops there. And then the packaging is also like super sustainable. Like that's why we try to use glass as much as we can. Because glass is infinitely recyclable. Mm. So as long as my clients are recycling the glass, it will always be in production. All of our carton is done with a lot of like the certified fibers. And we really don't do this for marketing. We rarely talk about the stuff. We do it because that's the way to do business in the future, you know?
It's one of your values. And do you like Credo in its video? The video is called It's Time for Better Beauty. Do you ask for the U.S. to make a real move towards cleaner and greener standards in the cosmetic industry?
I have been advocating this since I started. Because I have, you know, I am definitely not the type of CEO that likes to just be in the office. I definitely get around and I love to do beauty classes. I really get inspired by meeting and talking to my customers in stores, in different events, like teaching them a lot of like what I've learned, a lot of like how to take care of your skin. And part of what I teach them is the importance of going green.
Yeah.
Clean is different. Clean is just about a few controversial chemicals. And I really appreciate what the industry has been doing and cleaning up their act, but we're beyond clean, you know, like we're about really like a green living, you know, and the power of nature, and really trying to explain to people like, yes, I know that you have had disappointing experiences with naturals because they were simple, they were basic, they were not meet your expectations, but let me show you what like this new generation is looking like of green natural products, you know, and see what you think about this now, you know?
And What do you put of your Colombian heritage in your skincare brand?
I use a lot from the Amazons.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know, Colombian is a third Amazons. And I think that I have been focusing on that part of Colombia. And I think that more than anything, what I bring to the brand is like a beauty philosophy, which is about, you know, how to take care of your skin, how to layer skin, how to layer the products, and also how to approach that moment.
Yeah.
Because I feel that a lot of times people are like, oh my God, cleaning your skin. Oh my God, I go to bed at night with my makeup on. I just can't deal with another chore. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but girl, this is not another chore. This is a pampering moment. And I feel that that has been probably like one of the biggest things that I've been advocating is like, stop seeing it that way. You know, like you're always giving, you're always on, you're always, you know, and I feel that, you know, as women, especially like women with children and just like the role of women as in society is like so caretaking, yeah. You know, we're always thinking about others. We're always like house managers, planners, drivers, workers, like we do so many things that it's only fair that we have a moment and an outlet for taking care and giving yeah. back. So I feel that that's one of like the biggest things that I brought from my Latin heritage.
And what is the next step for Tata Harper Skincare? Is it about creating other formulas? Is it about the refilling system, sustainability, more sustainability?
I am working on a couple different things. I am working on trying to figure out how from a packaging perspective, like how do my clients could refill at home?
Okay, yeah.
So that's an initiative that I am personally overseeing. I'm also working in the sensitive line that it's also like a big initiative and that it'll start with few products, but it's going to expand. And I'm also expanding around the world.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
Like I feel that, you know, like our client, which is a very global, you know, like the luxury client, it's a very global client. And I feel that in many ways, the world has become flat and then we've been so US focused for so long. And I think that that's, it's now time to really bring our green products to different corners of the globe.
And for my last question, by the way, why is that apple green color for the bowl?
Great question. I think that for many reasons, number one is the birthplace of the product is my farm in Vermont. Vermont is the Green Mountain State. I don't know if you've ever been to Vermont.
No, but never. But I saw some pictures.
But the summers are like magical. It's like everything is like neon green. My farm is like, sometimes it's even hard to look at the grass because it's so
bright.
Green is so bright and it has like yellow dandelions growing all over. So that's what really inspired the both colors. But also green is the color of universal love. Yeah. You know, pink is the color of unconditional love, while green is a color of just love for everybody. And I feel that spreading that positive message is very important nowadays. You know, we're definitely living in a time where there's not a lot of tolerance for people from different parts of the world, from different points of view, different religion. And I feel that we need to really spread positive energy and positive love for, you know, out there. So I love that it also represents that, aside from representing the farm and the birthplace of the brand, and also representing the color of nature. And these products are really like the represents like world class, global power of nature.
Yeah.
So it's a very amazing, you know, it's a really amazing color that encompasses so many aspects and values of our brand.
Thank you, Tata.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. This was Beauty Toaster. Merci for listening to our chat. Do not hesitate to rate and review Beauty Toaster on Apple Podcasts. It will help other listeners to discover and maybe enjoy it. And please follow us on Instagram to know about the next episodes, especially those in English. À bientôt!